Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word hoax as an act intended to trick or dupe. Recently, Donald Trump called the affordability issue regarding food a quote-unquote hoax. Now, how can he tell, since Trump also ordered his administration to end all federal reports and studies on hunger in America? However, the truth can still be learned thanks to a recent effort by Hunger Free America. They've just released the report, Affordability Crisis Plus Middle Class Decline Fuels Soaring U.S. Hunger. Here to present some of the report's findings is State Policy Director with Hunger Free America, Kim Muscaritolo. How are you today, Kim?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for this work that you're doing. And you can get the report as well at hungerfreeamerica.org. And I'd advise you to do it because the level of the problem you think there is versus the level of the problem that there actually is, I think you're probably going to find it a much more larger problem than you might have been assuming. And I do want to add this into the conversation before I forget, Kim. This is according to Politico. The requirement to reapply for already being received SNAP benefits, that's something the head of the USDA had called for a few weeks ago. That is now, at least at this point in time, not going to be required. Keep a caveat out there, though, because policies like this are literally and figuratively at the whim of the moment with this White House, but at least in the current state, that's a little bit of good news, Kim, isn't it?
It is. I mean, to be clear, SNAP recipients are all required to periodically recertify to ensure that they still are eligible for the program. So it was really unclear what this reapplication was going to entail, since we already essentially require that of participants. But it was adding a lot of confusion and a lot of stress. So we're glad to hear that at least for the time being, there doesn't seem to be a change in that particular recertification process.
Poll conducted for The Guardian found that monthly cost for food for Americans had risen depending on family size and income bracket, whatever the case may be, but by and large between $100 and $749 in the 9 months after Donald Trump took office, promising to on day one reduce the cost of food and the grocery store. The problem is a lot bigger than we're, a lot of people are thinking. I mean, it's great to be able to go to a food bank event, or I know here in Northwest New Jersey, they do a Stuff the Bus 3-day event to help the Northwest New Jersey County Food Pantry. But it's a sizable problem. What were some of the things you were looking for with these reports?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me start by saying that we issue a national hunger survey report every year. And normally we base that report on data directly from USDA, which, you know, would always run this sort of very comprehensive, very data-driven study of food insecurity in the United States. This year, for the first time in decades, the USDA announced that it would no longer be conducting those really data-driven surveys. And it was a real shock to a lot of people in the anti-hunger community, because we really rely on those numbers to understand the state of hunger and food insecurity in the United States. We had a feeling we may not be getting great data from USDA, so this year, Hunger Free America, really, we took it upon ourselves to do our own surveys. And so we did a national survey of over 1,700 U.S. families with an annual income of below $100,000. And what we found, I don't think would shock anybody, but the numbers are pretty clear. 81% of the people who were surveyed said that the prices that they paid for food and other basic living costs had increased either greatly or somewhat in the last year. 55% said it was harder to afford the amount and quality of food that their household needed. And probably one of the most devastating numbers that we found was that in families with children, 27% said they were forced to buy food that was less nutritious for their children, and 22% said they had to reduce portion sizes for their children. And that's just a devastating number in a country as rich as the United States, to think that there are families with children potentially going to sleep hungry, without enough food. So, you know, on the one hand, we certainly weren't surprised by these numbers, but it's still really heartbreaking to hear them and to understand what families are going through in this country.
Or if the families are buying food, it's lower quality food. I've seen it in the stores where they're reaching for those $1.79 TV dinners, or they're doing the food shopping at the, well, it's not really a dollar store anymore, but it's still called the dollar store, and you get food for a buck and a half. But again, quality, it's not there, and health-wise, it's not exactly the best for the kids either.
It's not, and we've said for a long time, you know, we want people to eat nutritious food. But we believe that the way we do that is by incentivizing healthy buying. So that means obviously making it more available, making it more affordable. There are cities like New York City, for example, has a program that offers extra funds for people to buy fruits and vegetables at their local farmers markets. So we believe that, you know, we want people to eat healthy. And the way we do that is by making that healthy food as available to people as possible.
Looking at some of the breakdowns of the studies in the report, too, this goes across as many demographics as you want to think of. I mean, let's look at party affiliation. Republicans, Democrats, Independents all say by a vast majority in the 80-plus percentile that prices have increased.
Absolutely, yes. What we found was that across all of the political spectrum, people were feeling the pinch. I mean, it's, you know, it's not really something that can be denied. Food prices for a variety of reasons have gone up, and people are having a harder time affording that food. So whether you are a Democrat, Republican, you know, unaffiliated with a political party, across the spectrum, people are feeling the pinch when they go to the grocery store. So this is absolutely a nationwide problem.
Talking with Kim Muscaritolo, who is State Policy Director with Hunger Free America, about the report affordability crisis, plus middle class decline, fuel soaring U.S. hunger, which you can read for yourself as well at hungerfreeamerica.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. People say that the SNAP program, well, that fills the void. But does it really, Kim? Does SNAP supply a significant answer to the food insecurity that a growing number of families are feeling?
So we at Hunger Free America strongly believe that at the end of the day, the way we solve hunger in America is through policy decisions. That means ensuring that everyone earns a living wage, ensuring that people have access to affordable health care, affordable child care, affordable transportation. Because when folks don't have those things, the first thing they tend to do is cut their food budget. So without question, that is the true answer to hunger in America. That being said, when people don't make enough money for whatever reason, we strongly believe that we need a robust social safety net, and that includes programs like SNAP. SNAP provides more than 40 million Americans with a lifeline, a way to make sure that they and their families can be fed when times are tough. You know, we love the work that the food charities and the food banks do, but at the end of the day, the money that is put out through SNAP is about 17 times the amount of food that is provided by all of the food charities combined. So when the government cuts that funding, there is just no way for any of these food charities and nonprofits to fill the gap. So we absolutely need SNAP in this country to fill the gap so that people who either fall on hard times or just don't make enough money to pay all of their bills and buy all the groceries they need are still able to get by and are still able to go to bed with some food in their stomachs.
But is it also a mistake, though, for someone to believe, well, that person's on SNAP, well, they're covered. They got everything they need through the SNAP program. When you look at the statistics, it varies obviously from state to state, but pulled up the numbers here for New Jersey, since that's where we are right now. The average SNAP benefit per person is $194.63. I mean, it's a nice addition. It's a good cushion, but it's not the end-all, be-all answer.
No, that's correct. I mean, it's right there in the name. It's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So it is meant to be supplemental. And the problem is that in so many instances, people's wages are so low, they're not working enough hours, prices have increased so much. I mean, you know, if you look at the numbers just in the New York metropolitan area, food prices have increased significantly over the past 5 years. You know, and there's a number of reasons for that, but at the end of the day, people go to the grocery store and their bills are significantly higher. And unfortunately, one of the things that H.R. 1, which is the bill that was passed in Congress, did was it essentially removed USDA's ability to increase SNAP allotments in response to increases in food prices. That was something that had been put in the Biden administration that was essentially repealed. And so now, even when food prices go up dramatically, USDA does not have the same ability to increase allotments to make up for that difference. So we're seeing even greater gaps between what people have in their wallets and the cost of food in the grocery store.
Much like with Social Security, they have a cost of living allowance. The same should apply to a program as vital as SNAP, to be sure. And
sure.
The report mentions as well, we have to move along to just to wrap up here, but a point I've always had a problem with, the lack of full enthusiastic participation by schools in the school meal programs, breakfast as well as lunch and after school as well. And some of the school districts, they have miserable rates of participation, and a higher participation rate now more than ever is important and would certainly be play a huge role in alleviating the problem. You mentioned Congress. You do have some congressional support for this issue too, don't you?
Yeah, there is. And it really varies state by state. You know, even though there is money that is provided by the federal government, at the end of the day, the states are the ones who administer these programs, and as well as the school districts. And so, you know, we are seeing states like, for example, just this past year, New York finally, you know, made it the law that every school would have universal school breakfasts and school lunches, and that's great. And there are other states that have done that as well. But there are some that, you know, still really lag. And it's not just about whether or not it's available. It's about making it easy for people to participate. So, for example, with school breakfast, you know, we're really supportive of the idea of either a grab-and-go breakfast or a breakfast in first period class. Because when you're asking families to drop off their children even earlier in the day to get breakfast right away, you're cutting off participation for people who can't get to school early for whatever reason. So the idea with these programs is not just that they are there, but that they are easily accessible by the people who need them, and that we create an environment where people feel comfortable accessing these programs, where nobody feels any kind of stigma, and where it's available to everybody so that nobody feels like they have some sort of stigma if they are the ones accessing the school lunch or the school breakfast. So, you know, we've certainly come a long way on this, but there is still so much work to do to make sure that every single child has access to free school meals for both breakfast and lunch.
The report again is Affordability Crisis Plus Middle Class Decline Fuels Soaring U.S. Hunger. If you think this issue is a hoax, read this report and you'll find out where the true hoaxing lies. And that's with the people claiming this issue is a hoax. You can find the report. More information and more ways to get involved with Hunger Free America, their website, hungerfreeamerica.org. She is our state policy director for Hunger Free America, Kim Muscaritolo. Kim, thanks for the information, the stats, and the truth about a very important issue, which can't be allowed to get any more serious than it already is. The reversal is long overdue, and the work of Hunger Free America will bring that reversal around. I hope much sooner versus later. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.